Welcome to a new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola. This episode, I'm doing it. It's Sunday, the 6th of August. It's the first week of the US Open. So it's going to be a quick podcast. It's not a solo report. I've actually got a guest, a special guest, who's going to join me just briefly towards the end. He's known as The Coach, and he's describes himself as a professional tennis coach from Toronto in Canada. Anyway, listen to the end if you want to catch him. It's a bit of a comedy section to this podcast, which I thought would be pretty cool to include. I came across him on Instagram. Check him out. It's thecoach_1968. And yeah, you'll see what I mean. But you'll get a chance to listen to him later. Anyway, going back to tennis, well, tennis is back. We've had the first week of the US Open, finally, a bit of play tennis. Before that, we obviously had the Cincinnati/New York Masters 1000, won by Djokovic. But I wouldn't take that too seriously. That tournament was the first after a very long break, as we know. Now we're talking US Open, Slam. Yeah, very interesting. I've been watching quite a bit of it. Unfortunately, sorry, in South Africa, our time difference, like in Europe, makes it a bit difficult, especially to watch the late night matches. But yeah, I've had a chance to follow quite a bit of matches. And I just want to give you a quick report, my opinions. I'm not going to, by the way, talk about all the rest that is going on in the tennis world, or better, outside of the played tennis. It's actually amazing. We haven't had tennis in a long time, and we get back to play tennis, and we've had players' unions, we've had Black Lives Matter, we've had obviously the coronavirus and New York and the bubble. There's actually a lot to talk about, and maybe that could be a whole podcast on its own. But since we haven't seen play tennis, I think play tennis is a lot more interesting. And anyway, we know what's going on with all the other things. So yeah, going to the men's draw. Well, let's start with the top half. There's Djokovic. What can I say? Djokovic is an animal. I mean, this guy, I don't think anyone can stop him, really. I mean, he just has to have a very, very, very bad day. That's the only way I can see someone beating him. Funnily enough, I thought maybe a massive server or Carreno Busta were the two options to beat him. And we've got none of those, except for maybe Pospisil as being a big server. I'll talk about that later. But he's in the bottom half, and he still has to get through quite a lot of players, and he looks a bit tired. So I don't see, and obviously Carreno Busta lost quite surprisingly. I think it was yesterday. And yeah, so there's a lot to talk about. Djokovic, I think, is the favorite, like everybody thinks. This guy, I mean, there could be a pandemic, there can be a players' union, there can be all kinds of talk going on, but when he steps onto the court, he's just mentally an animal. This guy, even with an empty stadium, I've been watching him. He doesn't need spectators. He can have spectators, no spectators, spectators for him, spectators against him. It makes absolutely no difference. This guy's just competition and number one. And it doesn't hurt that he knows how to play tennis. I mean, this guy moves, just hits everything back. There's no weakness. You don't know where to attack him. And also another thing, I think he's got one of the most underrated serves in the tour. It's amazing the amount of free points he gets. Not necessarily aces, but just 3 points, or after the serve, his first shot is so effective that he just controls the point. So anyway, he's the favorite. He's playing Carreno Busta. I think that probably is going to be a walk in the park. It's funny because by the time you'll probably listen to this, the Open's already, these matches are done or the Open's finished or whatever. And I must have said a huge amount of stupid things and wrong predictions. But anyway, who cares? That's the fun of tennis. Another match today is Shapovalov-Goffin. I want Shapovalov to win. I've been watching him. He's playing really well. Like how he plays, aggressive, moves well. I think he's really improved a lot in the last year. But he's playing Goffin, and I've got a funny feeling Goffin is going to win this match. I don't know. Goffin's just got a lot of experience and also under the radar, but somehow, you know, wins a lot of matches. Shapovalov will have to be very careful because, not to make too many errors. Anyway, I hope he wins because maybe he'll cause more problems to Djokovic than definitely Goffin. I mean, I don't see Goffin causing many problems to Djokovic. Another nice thing about Shapovalov is that he's also still playing doubles, one of the few, let's say, top players. And that's nice to see. I think more of them should do it. Then we have Coric Thompson. I would say Coric. Coric played an unbelievable match against Tsitsipas, won it. You know, another player who a little bit under the radar, but who usually does very well. But again, he's the type of player that I think is too... suits too well Djokovic. He might go through to the semi or quarters, but I don't think he'll do for further than Djokovic. The last match on the top part is Davidovic Fokina, the Spanish player. Very interesting. Seen him play a few times, and he's done very well playing against Zverev. I've got Zverev. I think Zverev is playing well. His serve seems to be doing well. He seems to be mentally there. And, you know, if all those things are working, coming together, he's an, you know, exceptional player. As a matter of fact, he's probably my favorite to go to the semi, where he'll probably face Djokovic. And again, he will have to be a bad Djokovic against a brilliant Zverev there for Zverev to win. But, you know, anything can happen. That's the top half, which I think is a bit boring, really. But we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll have a few surprises. The bottom half, a lot more interesting. Let's start with Berrettini-Rublev. You know, they played the same round last year at the US Open, and Berrettini won quite comfortably. So Berrettini did get to the semi last year, lost to Nadal. I think Berrettini, again, not many people talking about him, but I've got him to win. Rublev is playing amazing. He has been playing the last year really well, and also this tournament, really impressive. But Berrettini, I've seen him, and his serve is outstanding. I mean, his serve percentages are 70-80%, and he wins something like 80-90% of those first serve points. He hasn't lost a serve all tournament and is serving really well. Together with his forehand, which is a cannon, and his backhand, which has really improved, especially that slice, really dangerous. Don't know how far he'll go, because the bottom half, there's a lot of tough opposition, but I think he'll beat Rublev. Second match is Tiafoe Medvedev. I really hope Tiafoe will do well. I really like him. I think he's really cool dude, cool guy, whatever. And he's one of the few who really seems to enjoy being on the court. It's not shy of laughing and so on. But I saw him play yesterday and he played amazing. He played Fuskosvis from Hungary. Excuse my pronunciation, you know, but probably could get them wrong. But he won comfortably in three sets, played really well, and he's doing really well. He didn't do too well in the previous tournament, the Cincinnati one, but seems to be doing very well this one. And I think his ranking should improve quite a bit. He's playing Medvedev. Yeah, I think Medvedev is going to win. Just too tough again. This guy's mentally tough. He slows the ball down a bit. He hits a bit flat. He gets everything. Just very difficult player to play against. Everybody knows that. I think was it Rublev talked about him recently yesterday, saying, it's this guy's so difficult to beat because he kind of slightly slows your game down, and before you know it, you're playing the way he plays, and he doesn't let you play how you want to play, and he's a really tough opponent. So anyway, I've got Medvedev to win that one. The other match is Pospisil Deminar. Both, I think, played five setters. That's a tough one. I don't know. Having seen the Pospisil match, I would say Deminar is going to win. Actually, Pospisil really, really, really impressed me. He looked down and out against Batista Gut, and somehow in the fourth set he started to take a little bit more risks, but calculated risks. He wasn't going all out. He was hitting 10-20% more aggressive than usually, and he's got a huge forehand and obviously a huge serve, and really impressive. I mean, Pospisil, again, another player that I don't understand his ranking. He should be probably a top 20 player, so it's a bit confusing there with the type of game he has. And but he looked tired. He looked very, very tired. He was bending over after many points. I don't know how he won that match. But he won it, and now it's Deminar, and Deminar is another kind of Batista Gut. He gets everything. He's quick, returns no big weapons, but he anticipates well, makes you move. So either Pospisil will put another massive performance where he's super aggressive, or I don't see him winning there. The final match is Felix Aliassime against Thiem. Interesting one. Again, I would say Thiem, but Felix has been playing super well, really, really well. I think this is going to be his first real test, though, so that's going to be a good match to watch. I've got Thiem, but I think that could go either way. So interesting one to follow there. Another point just to make, which is very interesting, is that we've got three Canadians for the first time, I think, in many, many years in a Slam last 16, round of 16. So that's quite interesting. Final prediction, I really don't know. I think Djokovic in the top half will be in the final. In the bottom half, I have a funny suspicion, Medvedev, but it could be Thiem, Aliassime, Medvedev, Rublev, or Berrettini. I really don't know which one I would go with there. Talking about the women's draw now quickly, I must admit, I do watch women's tennis. I like all tennis, but I don't watch it as much as the men's. Maybe it's because I've got two sons. If I had a daughter, who knows, I'd be watching more women's. But in the women's, what I've seen so far, I must say Kerber looks good. She's playing Brady. She's been playing well, even though she hasn't been playing the tournament in a very long time. She might have a little problem, though, with her knee, I believe, so I don't know there. The other match I think to look out for is Osaka Kontaveit. Very good match, both playing well. But I've got Osaka there. Kvitova is playing very well. She's against Shelby Rogers. Who else? Cornet, again, French player. She's suddenly been playing very well. Interesting there. I think the match, though, for the last 16, round of 16, is Serena Williams against Sakkari. They played in the previous tournament. Sakkari won in three sets. First set quite comfortable. Having said that, I think this is a different tournament, and I think I watched yesterday Williams against Stevens, and I was very impressed. Not my type of players, I'd admit. I prefer watching like a Barty, someone that's a bit different in the women's side. But Williams, the first set, she looked like she was going to exit very quickly, and somehow she just turned it around and started playing really well. So I wouldn't count Serena Williams out there. And then there is Azarenka, also playing very well, and she has a lot of experience. So, sorry, she could go very far. In fact, in the women's draw, like everybody seems to agree, there is you can pick 20, 30 players that could have won it. Field's wide open. And the last match is also, I think, a very good match. It's Mertens against Kenin. Now, that's another woman player that I really enjoy watching is Kenin. Again, won the Australian Open. And yeah, she seems to be doing very well here. So, yeah, to win the tournament, I really, really can't say. I think it's either going to be Azarenka, or actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Kerber wins it. But anybody could win it. I really can't say. That's about it. I will do another solo report, or maybe invite another guest again next week. As I said, I've got a guest now coming up in this second part. So, that's it for me. Ciao. As promised, at the beginning of this episode, I now have a very special guest joining me, all the way from Toronto, Canada. He is simply known as the coach, but most people know him as a professional, highly respected tennis expert. I'm very honored to have him on the show. But let's get right to it. Coach, your impressions of the first week and opinions on the first week of the US Open.
Hey, Gianluca, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm going well. I'm doing very well, thanks. Sorry, I just wanted to get the intro out of the way.
Oh, I appreciate it. But first off, I just wanted to thank you so much for having me on your show. Really is an honor and a pleasure. That's really appreciative of that.
No, no problem. No problem. It's always nice to have such an expert, and it's a privilege to have somebody who knows so much about tennis on the
Oh,
show.
I appreciate your compliments, but hey, you're the master yourself. I really appreciate being on your show. I've been listening to your other podcast episodes. Really appreciate the insight, the depth, the topics that you delve into. Been a joy to listen to.
Great. Great, thank you. So coach, impressions, first week US Open.
Yes,
What's
sir.
your impressions?
Yes, sir. So I actually have prepared a little report for you of the first week with some of the players and how I felt they played, performed, and how I see them perform in the future. Are you ready?
Fantastic. Oh, I'm all ears. I can't wait.
Excellent. Well, feel free to jump in if you have any counter opinions yourself, of course. I don't need to do all the talking.
Okay, go for
Okay.
it.
So, going to start off a bit earlier in the week. My main man, Steve Johnson. Some of you may know him. He's one of my favorite American players. Was really great seeing him playing again. He's had tons of injuries in his career, unfortunately, but he had a great win against John Isner. Love seeing him take down the big server. And oh man, that mustache. You seen that mustache on that guy, Jean-Luc?
Yeah, that's like a Super Mario mustache.
Yeah, Steve Johnson probably has the best mustache on tour, I gotta say. So it was very sad seeing him lose out to Berrettinakis. But yeah, great win against Isner, and wish him the best luck in the future.
Okay.
Next up,
Yeah.
I gotta talk about my Canadians, sir. And oh boy, they've been on fire this tournament. Have you got a chance to
They've
watch
been
any of them?
doing. Yeah, they've been doing well, eh? It's first time in a long time that there's three Canadians in the round of 16. They're doing really well. No, I've been watching
Yes,
them.
sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. First
Yeah.
time in the open air that we got three great Canadians and the fourth round, second week of the open. So exciting. So I'm going to start off
I'm
with
sure.
our main compatriot, Milos Raonic. He's no longer in the tournament, but he had a sensational week at the Western and Southern tournament. Also a man who's experienced some injuries lately, but we really thought he was going to do well at the Open. He looked great, had a little extra bulk, had a really nice quarantine haircut. Oh, he was looking great, hitting those short angles like butter. You got the serve, the forehand going. Oh man, it was great seeing classic Milos again. And it was sad, but he ran into his compatriot.
What did you think of his bandana? Do you think that's a good look for him?
Oh, I think the bandana is great. If you ask me, any player who wears a bandana, it's got to add 10 to 14 kilometers on their first serve, I got to say. It's like that extra confidence boost. The bandana, he had some nice, colorful clothing. He sort of looked like, sort of a blast from the past there. This, like seeing John McEnroe out there, going at it, rushing the net, nice hands, big serve, the spins. Oh, it was wonderful. But he ran into another Canadian, Vasek Pospisil, in the second round. And the two of them trained heavily in the Davis Cup, and they're both Canadians, obviously, so know each other's games very well. I think Raonic was just a bit fatigued from last week, and Pospisil, he's been joining Djokovic and trying to create this other players' union. Fully wants to, make himself heard. So people are listening. Pospisil's on fire, baby. So,
He's looking good. He's looking good.
yes, Pospisil is definitely, I got to say, one of the main dark horses. No one really saw him coming through the second week of the tournament, and he's been on fire, baby. Honestly, RBA Roberto Bautista Agut, great player, puncher. I thought he would, make easy work of Vasek, but oh boy, Vasek brought it right to him. Saw through his tactics. Big serve, big forehand combos, could play in the net, playing some droppers. Oh, it was sensational. So much fun to watch.
I watched that too. He was really, really impressive. And I also thought he would have no chance against RBA, but
Yes.
there you go. He put some aggressive shots in there, and impressive.
Yes, sir. Have you been to Canada yourself, sir?
No, don't call me sir, please.
Oh.
No, I haven't, but I'd like to definitely one day.
Sorry, would you prefer Luca, Gianluca?
Coach, you can call me Gianluca. It's fine, no problem.
Gianluca. Sorry, my apologies, Gianluca.
No.
As I was saying, we actually have something in Canada we're well known for. It's maple syrup.
Yeah.
If you haven't had it
Well, we all
yourself,
know
you don't
that.
have any. Yeah, you heard of it, Gianluca?
Oh yeah, for sure. I use a whole bottle when we make pancakes. Very nice.
Excellent. So I can ship you a bottle of our finest maple syrup, but there is a rumor going around that has been the secret to Vasek's success is. He's been chugging a little pint of Canadian maple syrup before his matches and getting a
Okay.
little jump ahead of the opponents. Just a little thing between you and me.
Okay, so it's his little secret upper that he
Yes,
takes.
but again, he has his secret sources in Canada, so if the other players try to have a little maple syrup themselves, it won't be the same because he's got a very secret stash that is sourced out by our prime minister. Justin Trudeau himself.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Pospisil plays. And remember, Anything is possible.
Wow, that's a good one. That coach, that's a good
yes,
one. I
sir.
Like that one. Very good. Very
yes,
good.
Sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay, and you, of course, know the next male Canadian players I'm going to get to next. Can you take a guess?
Greg Rudetsky.
Greg Rudetsky was a classic player who, yes, went to the UK, unfortunately, on us. We consider him a little bit of a traitor, but we still respect his services he did for us, the Davis Cup and everything. But I unfortunately, that's another story. But yes, I think you do know who I'm going to get to next.
Yeah.
And that is, no, of course,
sure.
our
Shapovalov.
Yes. Our two main men, Denis Shapovalov. Chapeau, and Felix Auger-Aliassime, FAA.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
They're doing fantastic,
coach. Eh? They, why is Canada producing all these players? It's what is it? The maple syrup? No, it can't be. That's pospisil.
Is there a secret there?
I'm not sure, coach. Coaching them secretly?
Well, any practices I do with the RCMP and Tennis Canada, unfortunately, is under wraps. I cannot with sharing any information that I may or may not have been sharing any secrets, helping them with tactics, you know, talking with Greg Rosetsky also. But they are great players. The tennis boom in here in Canada we've been experienced really is unprecedented. Bianca Andreescu, Shapovalov, Aliassime, and we got Bouchard, who was big a few years ago and, you know, still in the headlines these days for other purposes. I'm not sure, you know, us Canadians, we got hockey, we have a lot of winter, you know, people get bored up here. We got lots of public tennis courts. Tennis Canada is great promoting the sport. We got great inspirational players. It's just, you know, people are just clinging on. They love the excitement our players are bringing. They're getting major airtime here in our sports networks, TSN, Sportsnet. So, people are paying attention, picking up the rackets. And of course, as you know, I don't know if it's the same in South Africa there, but tennis and golf really were the only sports in quarantine that you could play just because of the distance that you get to enjoy as you're playing. Yes.
Yeah, pretty much the same here. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So this quarantine has been great. I visited my local public courts, which are usually barren, and it was, you know, it was full, there were people playing, there was a queue to join in, you know, people were playing around, you know, joshing each other, having a great time. So it really was a pleasure to see the sport picking up here in Canada.
Okay.
Yes,
okay, but, so what's your thoughts on Shapovalov and Aliassime? Do you think they'll go far?
Yes, so the sky's the limit right now, baby. These two, they're just a joy to watch. I got to compare them to sort of Pete and Andre from the U.S., Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi, of course. Just in the fact that, you know, they're both peaked around the same time. Both have contrasting games, contrasting personalities. Pete Sampras a little reserved, the big, powerful game. Andre, the little more flamboyant, you know, flamboyant fashion and big, flashy ground strokes. And, you know, I got to say, this is sort of like Pete and Andre 2.0. So I really do hope that, it follows their legacy. And Denis and Felix, fingers crossed, they continue to have a very successful career. Many see them winning some Grand Slams in the future. So hopefully, you know, they start off with the U.S. Open 2020, baby.
Yeah, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. I think it's time we everybody wants desperately a new winner. Yeah, no more the big three. We need some new blood.
Yes. Yeah, so this tournament definitely is something special. There's the holes on the field, and I think these two, it's a great opportunity for some of the next gens to make a splash for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Anything else you want to add, coach?
I actually have one last player. I'm looking on my report sheet. I want to mention here. I think he's going to do really well. He's a bit of a veteran, but surprised to see him on my sheet here. But he is a man from the Rainbow Nation. You may know him, Wayne Ferreira. I just really enjoyed seeing him play. His forehand is, you know, a little bit awkward, but very ferocious power. I've seen him using his hands in the net, very amazing, using those double skills.
Coach.
Jean-Luc, yes?
Yeah. Wayne Ferreira, are you sure you saw him play?
Well, unfortunately, you know, here in Canada, our internet is not the best, but I've been reading reports, you know, these papers in front of me. I got Wayne Ferreira, yes, against Juan Carlos Fierro. Is that right? The second round?
No, coach. I think I think you must call your internet provider. I think there's something very wrong there.
Oh. Okay.
No.
Well, that's okay. I'll move on to the women's side. How about that? We'll just forget about that, or else you can edit that out, or you know, I don't want to look like.
Don't worry. I'll edit it out and. You know, we'll talk later. But okay, let's move on to the women's. Yeah,
excellent.
Who have you
women's
got
side.
On your radar?
So I got, you know, again coming from South Africa, we got the little assassin from down under, Amanda Kutzer. So I see she's also been playing very well, very feisty player.
Coach.
She gets to the ball. You know, yes. Sorry, go ahead,
coach. She's retired. She doesn't play anymore.
Are you sure? I have her here on my sheets. Mary Pierce, Martina Hingis, second round, third round, Steffi Graf.
Coach.
Yes.
Coach. Have you been watching the US Open?
Our women's coverage, not so much. I do admit I have been focusing more on the men's tour, but I do know Kutzer is definitely a threat this year.
Your sheets. I'm just interested. Do you actually write these things down from information on the internet?
Oh dear. Oh, Jean-Luc, it looks like I've mixed my sheets up during this quarantine. I was rearranging all of my tennis records, and I must have mixed in my sheets from the 90s and put them in the 20s here. I'm very sorry. I don't know how this slipped in the sheet. I looked over this before our little segment here.
Coach, I'm going to edit this whole like last 10 minutes because, you know, it's... It doesn't look good, but don't worry, I'll edit it all out.
I appreciate it. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no. Maybe next time.
I do got to say, you know, just on Amanda Kutzer, and I don't know if you're a big fan or not, but you know, she was the best player that I've seen from South Africa, and she made the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open in 94, 96, 98. You know, we really miss talent like that. And I just can't wait to see the next talent coming from South Africa. You know, I think the moment is coming soon.
Well, yeah, I agree. She was very good, obviously very, very good. And hopefully we'll have another one of her soon. But it's been a while. But okay. I think it's let's go back to the present. So let's skip the women's because you don't seem very prepared.
Jean-Luc, I do think I have some records here. I'm back on track here. Petra Kvitova, is she still playing?
You know
I think
what?
She, yes,
I think
yes, yes, she believes.
She is.
She is.
Yeah,
Right.
she is. Yeah.
Yes. I'm actually logging on to the US Open website now. I just want to make sure my news is current. And I do see her on the front page here. So I can confirm she is in the fourth round. So I just do want to say a few things about her. She is a big serving lefty. You know, I don't know if you've seen any of my videos, but I am also a lefty myself. I love seeing other lefties there on tour. Big forehand, big serve. And going back to the 90s, she reminds me a lot like Lindsay Davenport. I don't know if you ever watched Lindsay play, but very similar style, you know, very big, imposing ground strokes, huge wingspan, you know, gets every ball with amazing ferocity. So, yeah, I think Petra's been playing well. I think she's a very dangerous player and has that experience that the rest of the field, of course, barring Serena, that will definitely give her a heads up. So I think she's a dangerous, I don't know if you can consider a dark horse being, you know, a top 10 seed, but, you know, I think everyone should be watching out for her.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I agree. That's pretty true. And there's also Kerber, which is currently playing, I think, while we speak. She's also a lefty, but a bit smaller lefty. Yeah. And Kenin and obviously Serena Williams. But I think in the women's side, many can win. There's it's wide open.
Yes, definitely. So, Serena Williams. I've been watching her, you know, all my life. I feel she's just been playing as long as Federer. Deep into her twilight years along with Federer. And, you know, it's just amazing how she is stretching this age limit that you can be so dominant in the sport. I saw her win over Sloane Stephens yesterday. I wasn't sure how that was going to go. You know, Sloane Stephens, a young professional herself, very young. And Serena just made easy work of her. Well, you know, lost the first set, but battled through with her experience, that, you know, that fire we've been seeing over the years. So, it's just been inspirational to see a Serena Williams go. And I think, you know, during these troubling year we've been having so far, it's a bright light to see Serena doing so well, for sure.
Mm. Do you think she's got a chance to win it?
You know, of course, Serena is always dangerous. I don't know if she will make it to the finish line because of her age, but the sky's the limit with her. You know, she's won it many, many times, and if her body cooperates, I honestly don't see why not. No.
Okay.
But
okay,
Gianluca,
coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on to my last player here. And then, we can definitely. I'm going to wrap it up. Sorry for this lengthy report and the mishap with the veteran players that I happened to mention by accident. But I'm going to mention.
Well, it's okay. It's not lengthy because I'm going to cut most of it. So don't worry. Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate that. So I'm last player, you know, everyone's been talking to her. I don't know. I do have to talk to her also, but it's Naomi Osaka. She's been playing. Yes. I think the whole world is aware of her now with her face mask, with the names, you know, Breonna Taylor, Elijah McClain, Ahmad O'Brary, rest in peace. I think she's been, front runner with all her players, and just a role model, this how she's been using her platform to share such a great message for not only the tennis world, but also the rest of the world to hear. So, yes, good on Naomi Osaka. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Yeah, that's well said. Yeah.
And and of course, she's definitely one of the favorites going in. She had a very interesting, she withdrew from her semifinal at Cincy last week, and then withdrew her withdrawal, played, won, and then lost in the final. So, you know, very interesting play, very polarizing sort of performance, but she's been doing well. So I definitely dangerous going into the second week here.
Yeah. Do you think she might do that sort of again now? That could have been a tactical move. What do you think, coach?
Yes, very, very interesting. you know, it's hard. It's the whole, I guess.
Because if you think about it, sorry, you kind of confuse everyone. You withdraw, then you say, I'm playing, then maybe not. Then you play, you win, and, you know, then no.
Yes. No, I agree. It's definitely a huge disruption and a player's preparation for a match. I honestly think it was going to have an effect on our opponent. Was it Svitolina, I believe? I'm not 100% sure who the player was. But
yeah, I actually don't remember. I must be honest. Yes, but I know it wasn't Svitolina, but yeah.
But I thought it would have affected her more. Just because this political message that Osaka was bringing into the match, I thought that she would add more pressure to, you know, lose that match just because Osaka's you know, political message that she's bringing on, you know, it would have been very sad to see her lose that match. But I'm not sure. You know, this political climate and this. This era that we're living in is very liquid and dynamic, and you know, anything could happen. Even through this fortnight at the U.S. Open, you know, we pray that nothing does happen in America. That there is no other unfortunate deaths or police brutality. So you know, it's really great that these players are playing. You know, they're seeing the big picture outside of their bubble. And they see what the world, some of the turmoil that is happening around the world, and using their platform as a means to support the causes that are going on out there, like Black Lives Matter.
Okay, Coach. Yeah, that's, I agree 100%. Very good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Coach, I think we've. I mean, as a first report. Excellent. Do you mind if I just ask you a few like quick questions just to like for example, something I was very curious, and you're Canadian. Shapovalov just released a rap single, Night Train. What's your impression? Are you a bit of a rap guy, or what's your impression? Do you think you should just stick to tennis, or you know, or maybe he's got something there. What do you think?
Oh, Chapo, he's the man, sir. Sorry, Jean-Luc. I think, you know, Dennis is a lot like our friend Nick Kyrgios. You know, they both have a creative side. They both like expressing themselves. And, you know, in this quarantine, guys like Shapovalov spend a lot of time in hotels, a lot of time alone on the tour, on night trains, on planes, flying over the ocean back and forth, traveling the world. So I think it's a great – he's a lefty also, and us lefties are known for our creative side. So I think it's a healthy outlet, you know, as long as it doesn't overtake his main priorities in life, which, of course, is the tennis. I think it's very healthy. So I say good on Dennis. I really encourage him to keep producing the music. Just do not get in any squabbles with any of the you know, major rap players. We don't want to see any, you know, rivalries going on, wars. So if you don't mind, I've been listening to this track. Do you mind if I do a little impression of the Night Train track?
What you mean, like rap to it?
Yeah I do a little rapping in my pastime, my spare time as well. So just a little bit, yeah.
Okay, are you sure? Is this something that we can keep, or do you think also this maybe we'll need to edit? But anyway,
I hope it's entertaining for your viewers. That's the chorus line there. Here we go.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to the Night Train. Yeah, welcome to the Night Train. Whoa, whoa, welcome to the Night Train. Whoa, welcome to the Night Train. Yo, yo, Chapo, baby, U.S. Open 2020. Whoa. What do you think?
That's terrible.
Oh, are you sure?
No,
sir?
Really.
Sorry,
no,
Jean-Luc. I was practicing no, that all night last night.
That's a definite cut. That's really bad. Okay, anyway.
Hey, well, I think that's the effort that counts, right? It's the effort that counts. And, I
don't think so.
Anyways, let's just move on from that. Okay. We'll move on.
All right. Okay, I think, I think we mustn't really go much longer because it's better to keep it short here. I did have one very, very last, very last technical tennis question. I don't know if you'd like to answer this.
Sure.
Because I think, you're a coach and you're an expert and you're a professional coach. And, everybody says that Djokovic's return of serve is excellent, the best of all time.
Well, yes.
Why do you think that, coach? Do you have any sort of insight? Do you know why? What does he do so well?
Okay, very, very funny you bring that up. I was actually watching Djokovic the other day, and doing the whole coronavirus and the tournament he had and everything. He's been going through a lot in his emotional state these past few months. So it's amazing to see him bounce back from all that and win Cincinnati. And I think he's 26-0 this year. He's just, the man, he's a legend. That's one intangible that you can't really bring to the table or teach anybody. But he is a legend that we're seeing along with, of course, Federer and Nadal. Technically speaking, he has everything. Number one, you got to look at his eyes. If you see those cameras close ups, his eyes are wide open. He has that laser focus. He's focusing on the server. He sees that ball toss. Yes.
So sorry, just I'm not an expert like you. But do you think that maybe before you serve, he's got those eyes right? Do you think that maybe you should maybe point somewhere else with your finger so he might look somewhere else and then you serve? What do you think of that?
That's a good point. Some of these players who have a big losing record against Djokovic, and there are many, that would be a good tactic to employ. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see someone like Kyrgios, who has been sneaking in that underhand serve, try a tactic like that with a pointing. But yes, good point. But yes, so going back to the technicalities of the Djokovic return, he has those big eyes. And, that fundamental we teach all the kids is, watch the ball. So as that toss goes up, Djokovic is looking at that toss to see what direction is moving. And maybe moving subtly to the left, to the right, which would imply it's going down the line or going cross court out wide. So Djokovic is ready for that. And in a moment, he's going to calculate that. He's going to be watching the server's angle of his shoulders. If his angles are open, they're more closed. That's also going to show where the server is going, right? So, Djokovic is able to. And you also look at his stance. Djokovic is, he's sort of like Gumbo. He's very flexible. You can see his stance is wide open, got those legs spread out. He's got the weight, sort of knees bent, the power that's building up. So as he does that split step on his opponent's serve, he's ready to pounce in either direction. And he's going to move on a diagonal to the left or the right and even take the ball on the rise. He returns it, he targets the opponent's backhand usually, right? Especially that Federer backhand, the weaker wing. Yeah. So if you look at there are some numbers out there, but he hits, not winners. He's very smart. He's not going for that deep penetrating shot every time, unless he's up 40 love, three break points or such. He's going to hit the calculated shot most of the time, right around the service line with that good sharp angle towards his player's backhand. Or if they have a weaker forehand, to their forehand. So, that's the basics of it. We'll never be able to understand exactly what's going, through a talented, legendary player like Novak. But That's all I got. I can say just from watching him.
Okay, that was very well broken down. I mean, very, very coach always with some details that impress me. Amazing, amazing.
Oh, I appreciate coach, it, but you know,
yeah.
Go ahead, yeah. Sir. Go ahead, Dad Luke.
No. I think we must finish now. You. It was very. It was a great chat. But just to finish, I think. You haven't actually given us your prediction, a quick prediction. Who's going to win the men's and who's going to win the women's?
Right.
By the way, coach, Steffi Graf is not playing. Okay. Just to let you know.
Yes. Of course, you know, for Ollie and forehand, I do, you know, I thought it was still relevant today. I think it still is a big weapon, but I do have a sheet here with my predictions I made last week for the men. The men, you know, I got to play it safe. Got to go with Federer and Nadal, you know, legends of our time also. Going to go the safe route this time, sir, Gianluca.
Coach.
Fedal, baby. Fedal. Come on, baby.
Coach, no, seriously. Okay, coach. It was really nice having you.
Wait. Sorry. Wawrinka, I gotta go with Wawrinka, baby. The backhand,
yeah.
Oh man,
coach, I'm gonna cut you off. I think Nishikori. This was a big mistake.
Nishikori, Monfils,
no,
Tsonga,
no.
I gotta go with Tsonga. Delpo, baby,
coach,
Delpo. He's gonna make come
please,
back, get another
please
title.
Stop it.
Delpo, Delpo.
coach. Okay, thanks a lot. I think, I don't know, this could have been a big mistake. But yeah, anyway, thanks for your time. And maybe watch the US Open and, you know, you can get an idea of who's playing.
Okay.
But thanks for coming on the show.
I'm actually just seeing that Federer and Nadal are both not playing. So I do have to pull that out and I will go with my originals. I'm gonna go with Shapo, baby. I'm going for Shapo.
You're going with Shapo. Okay.
I'm going with Shapo. I'm going all in. Going all in.
Okay. The night train.
The night train, baby. You want to go hear my rap again? Baby.
No.
Welcome to the night train, Shapo. Come on.
This was so bad. This was really bad. Okay, coach.
I'll come back with a better rap next time, Gianluca. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll practice.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. Okay. I really appreciate being on your show. Thank you again.
Okay, coach. Speak again. Thanks, eh? Bye-bye.
Thank you. Enjoy the Open.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.